KNC Masterpiece right here on 105.3 The Fan. It's Hockey Town USA is what you were looking for, Mike. By the way, the National Weather Service has issued a flash flood warning for Ellis and Dallas County that will be in effect until 3:26 p.m. So please be aware of that. We got Bruce Bochy coming up in about 20 minutes, but I was reading an article from The Athletic, and I tweaked some of them. These are early MLB takes. Do you think they are overreaction or reality? First one.
Pitchers get hurt a lot.
Well, actually.
Oh, did I name one?
The injury to Spencer Strider makes the Phillies the favorite in the NL East.
Ooh, that's a good question.
Thank you. Overreaction or reality?
Reality.
Ooh, okay. Next question.
Reality.
Okay. It's really close. It's not an easy. That's not an easy yes. But Phillies have better pitching now. Atlanta has a hair better hitting. It's, yeah.
Overreaction.
The other teams aren't good in there.
Or reality. The Astros' run in the AL West is finally over.
Overreaction.
Overreaction.
No!
Verlander's coming back soon. Their bullpen has blown games that their names and their history say they shouldn't be.
Right.
So I think at the end of the year, Astros are going to be between 85 and 95 wins. I also think the Rangers are going to be between 85 and 95 wins.
No, I think the Rangers are going to be between 85 and 97 because, Mike, you told me if they just go 6-4 every 10 games, that gets you to 97.
We're 0-1 in our next 10.
Yeah. It's okay. We got plenty of time.
Still do it.
Plenty of time to make
Shea
that up.
Shea Langeliers.
He won't
Shea
do that.
Shea Langeliers.
That won't happen today. I guarantee it.
At this pace, he's going to lead everybody in homers.
And I thought I led everybody in homers.
Just.
Man, are people being mean to you on the text again?
Nah.
Okay. All right. So you say the Astros aren't done. Bold take by you guys. MLB overreaction.
How's that bold?
It is funny to look at standings and see that the two teams tied for last in our division are the Astros and Mariners.
Just like it will be at the end of the year. I don't think that. But if it turns out to be true, that would be amazing. Overreaction or reality? Wyatt Langford cannot live up to the enormous rookie hype put on him.
It's tough.
He can't. I wish he could, but he can't. I'm part of the problem, by the way.
But he's really good, so that's another thing. But Kevin, the Bryce Harper hype was far more than this.
Oh, yeah.
Like, we're experiencing this,
like,
because we're local
earlier than
and we're
this.
Excited about it. Yeah, far earlier. So it was like 4 years we had to wait for him to become that.
Yeah.
I do think that the hype locally is nuts. Nationally, I still think it's lower than it is by far here.
I'm with you. I saw today. They're like, Orioles game is free on MLB TV. Jackson Hall, that's the dude right now. Yeah. The hype is, I don't think he can either. Like, at this point, he needs to, with only missing 10 games pretty much because of the call-up just 10 games into the season, he's a guy that I think people are projecting. The hype is he bats 350 with 40 home runs, 150 runs, and 150 RBIs. Like, that's the hype of, especially in the card world, like, that's what he has to do. And Wyatt Langford's cards are slowly going down, by the way. They're still very expensive. But they're slowly going down because people are like, oh, he's not going to hit a home run every series and he's not going to have an RBI every game.
Since you brought up Jackson Holliday.
Is this our 30 seconds on Orioles?
Oh, yeah. Go for it.
Completed. We did it.
We did it.
I still think they're great, and I can't wait to watch Jackson Holliday either.
Do you still? But we're still to the point where we think Wyatt Langford can have a season that people are like, whoa.
Oh, I think he could win Rookie of the Year.
Yeah.
Last year, Gunnar Henderson won Rookie of the Year. I don't have his stats pulled up. It was like either 28 or 32 home runs with under 100 RBIs, and he batted under 300. So if I tell you that Wyatt Langford hits 28 home runs, bats 280 with 85 RBIs, isn't that an unbelievably great first year right out of college?
And by the way,
that's not living up to expectations.
He is still on pace right now for 88 RBIs. So even after a slower start. Now, as of yesterday, let's go back a day. Overreaction or reality, The Norfolk Tides could have beaten the Oakland A's. So that is the Orioles AAA affiliate.
Not if Mason Miller pitches.
Where they had Jackson Holliday, Kobe Mayo, a lot of their top players. Do you think a AAA team, that AAA team specifically, could have defeated the Oakland A's?
In a series, I bet they could win a game.
Okay.
Seven-game series?
Well, I was thinking three-game series. Okay. I'll tell you, watching Oakland, it's one game watching them. They're 4-7. So they're not that bad. Now, I was talking to somebody who is a Chicago White Sox fan. They're 2-9, and they're on a one-game winning streak right now.
Their pitching sucks.
And they're now Luis Robert is hurt for a while again. And so I think, I will say this. I think at the end of the year, Oakland is not one of the three worst teams in baseball. How about that?
Okay.
I think they might be the fourth worst, but sure. I'm not putting them way ahead of that. But I think the White Sox, the Rockies. Ooh, okay, you're going to have to do some work, Oakland. But it's going to be maybe they're not the third worst team in baseball at the end of the year. But those two teams will be worse than Oakland.
I brought this one up just to see what you think for the sake potentially of your kiddo. It's not just a slow start. Age and decline are catching up with Francisco Lindor. He has gotten off to an awful start.
He still moves well and does a lot of things defensively. So I think if age was catching up, we'd see him slowing down at shortstop.
Okay.
So I disagree with that. He seems like a guy that doesn't mind the spotlight. He is obviously the face of New Balance until Shohei. I don't know what it is, but in a way, he's struggling in New York, and this happens.
The last 2 years were better than the first year, for sure.
He's going to, at the end of the day, he's going to be above a 230 hitter. I know that's a low standard.
Yeah.
I thought for sure when he was with Cleveland and went to New York that his status was going to go way up. Also, New York put a lot of money into that team with Verlander and Scherzer and everything that they were doing, Edwin Diaz, to try to win it all. And it has gone in another direction. I wonder this. I know this is another question. So I think it's an overreaction that he's just going to be a bad player the next 3 or 4 years. He's not old. He's 29. And he's the same age as Corey Seager.
I think he just turned 30. He's 30, but,
Okay. And then Corey Seager's turning 30 at the end of this month, I think. So I don't think it's age and that decline, but I wonder if he regrets signing in New York. I understand he doesn't regret the money. I totally get that. I just wonder if he regrets going to New York.
I also wonder, like, how much does winning affect things, especially when you're talking about regret, the regret part of it. When you're not winning and you kind of probably signed there. I know you got your big payday, but you kind of expected that they would build some things, and then they did.
You never get booed in Cleveland. Think of this. If Francisco Lindor, I'm just looking at his stats, 45 at-bats this year, and he's batting .089. He wouldn't be getting booed here. He just wouldn't. If he was a Texas Ranger, let's just take opposite. Corey Seager went to the Mets, and Francisco Lindor came to the Texas Rangers. We wouldn't be booing him every time they announced him at the plate. They do in New York. And he doesn't seem to be handling that well. It's not fun for anybody. But to be like, you're booing me 8 games into the season, and he was good last year. He wasn't great, but he was good. It's just, it's probably not fun for him. And then he saw last year Verlander and Scherzer get traded. He's going to probably see Edwin Diaz get traded. Hey, by the way, Rangers, that might not be a bad move either in June or July, is to call up the Mets again and say, hey, you want to pick up a lot of money at Edwin Diaz? We'll add a better prospect to figure this one out. I think that Lindor might, it's tough to not let this out, but behind the scenes go, can you trade me?
To who?
Not here. We don't have a spot for him. I do like Corey Seager at short. As much as I love Francisco Lindor, and he's a better defensive player than Corey Seager, Corey Seager's a much better offensive player.
But Corey Seager, could he play third, and then we're good there until Josh Young gets back, and then we can trade Josh Young? Oh, man.
I mean, be honest, you want me to throw something at you as they just take the field? And I don't. What if he got traded to the Dodgers so you don't have to play Mookie Betts at shortstop?
Oh, I'd hate it. I'd hate it.
I mean, Mookie's doing great at shortstop, but you move him back to second where he said he was going to play, and now Francisco Lindor for the next 5 years is the shortstop for the LA Dodgers.
Did we just call the Dodgers Team USA at that point? Like, that's well, the that's oh yeah, I know.
He's from Puerto Rico, Francisco
Team
Lindor.
World. Okay, how about that?
He just let off with a hit as well. All right. Overreaction Hitters or hit. Reality. It's only a matter of time before the Marlins start trading their players.
I hope so.
Because that team.
They're 1-11.
They have talent on their team. It's a weird thing that I get that they're not going to win a division. And even before the season, I would have said, hey, they're not competing in that division. But they do have some talented players. So if they start wanting to sell off, I want the Rangers to start plucking.
Sure.
What I mean, you, their manager's already out, right? Like, Skip Schumacher's already saying that he's looking elsewhere at the end of the season.
Yeah.
What do you want first from them? Do you want a starting pitcher, or would you rather go try and grab bullpen pieces?
Yes.
Okay. hey, try and get the – what was the package, the Cole Hamels, Jake Diekman package, where you double up and get both at the same time?
Yeah, I'm looking at – I don't know. I did like him a lot out of college, but he hasn't had a great major league career. A.J. Puck, who's like 6'7", lefty. Like, I wouldn't mind him. His numbers are not good to start the year. He has 14 walks and 10 and two-thirds. I take that back now. I would not like A.J. Puck because that is way too many walks.
Okay.
You but, know what? I think maybe
so we'll have to look
yeah,
around.
Yeah, maybe we need to study here.
Yeah.
They had one of their good pitchers. I'm sorry I'm drawing a blank because I know it's not Suarez. It might be Perez. I know it doesn't sound good, but they had a stud pitcher who immediately got hurt.
Starts an L.
Couple more quick things for you. Overreaction reality. The Angels should just go ahead and release Anthony Rendon.
Does it say what's left on his contract?
I believe he has 2 years left on his contract.
Is he batting .02 right now?
Man, he's got to be something like that. In his five seasons with the Angels, he's never hit 10 home runs, had 35 RBIs, or played 60 games in a season.
He is currently, Kevin, batting .150.
It's not bad.
With zero home runs. Yeah, dude, this was... Hamilton?
Can I tell you something?
Josh Hamilton all over again?
Yeah.
If they were to release him, which I don't think they will, I'd pick him up.
Would you?
Yeah, for right now. Yeah.
Even though he's been terrible for a while, man.
You're picking him up on league minimum. If he's terrible for you for 2 weeks, you release him yourself. What if he comes here and he's like, I like it here. I like the team here. I like the environment. Like, I'm not saying he's going to go back to 2019 Washington National. I totally get that. But you have a major injury right now in Josh Young. He's not coming back till June. And I'm not saying Josh Smith isn't doing a nice job. Smith is doing a nice job. He played shortstop yesterday to give Corey Seager the day off. And I do like Zeke Duran. By the way, I didn't count his pitches yesterday in his last at-bat. He had 24 pitches seen in his first three at-bats yesterday, wow, drawing two walks. I thought that was very impressive and growth. But if you release a guy like that, I'm doing my homework and going – What's I'm paying him league minimum on a game-to-game basis?
And his defense hasn't been as miserable as his batting in that time. So that is one thing. But he needs to find a bat if I'm going to do that.
The guy I was thinking about was Yuri Perez, who they're not trading. He's 20 years old for Miami. He was a pitcher last year. He went 5-6 with a 3.15 ERA.
We're the KNC Masterpiece right here on 105.3 The Fan. Coming up next, we move into the expressway with some Mike Likes It, but also we will talk with Texas Rangers manager Bruce Bochy right here on 105.3 The Fan.
1-2, swing and a miss. He struck him out on a fastball. A half a dozen punch outs for Nate Eovaldi through four innings. He's got a lively heater tonight to go along with the split and the curve.
KNC Masterpiece right here on 105 through the Fan, where unfortunately the Rangers would actually lose that game last night on a night when the Stars and the Mavericks won. For the folks out there across the Metroplex, we talked about the flash flood warning in Ellis and Dallas County earlier. That has now been extended out to Rockwall and Collin County as well. So if y'all are out there, just be careful. We might switch it up right here if that's okay.
I'm going to text my wife real quick.
Okay.
She's in Collin County.
Okay.
So.
And do some Mike Likes It
yeah.
before Boach.
All right, guys. So I got to touch one of the coolest things in Rangers history yesterday. I couldn't believe.
World Series trophy?
What I saw. Well,
you're not supposed to touch that.
I don't even know where that's at right now. Okay. I'm sure it's in the building somewhere.
Right.
Like probably in the offices or maybe at the owner's house.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know. That's a good question. But I got to touch and not get to grab it like a real bat because it is very fragile at this point because it is broken and I forgot that it is broken.
You broke part of it, didn't you?
No.
Okay.
Corey Seager's game tying game one World Series bat. I couldn't believe it when I saw it. It was so cool and so broken.
You know, what's interesting,
it's like if you held it like a bat and wiggled it, it might split. Like, as in, like, and I'm, you know, so the people who have it know, like, it is a very fragile piece right now.
Does it need to be preserved like that?
Yes.
It can't fall apart for.
They said for, like, kind of the matching to make sure it's. Because I said, I think you could do this and push this in, it'd still be broken. But they're like, no, you want to keep it exact. The way that it fell down on the ground after his extra inning at bat where it's broken, they're like, you keep it like that. And these are things that you kind of learn. We had on Darren Revell earlier in the week, and I was thinking to myself, you know, this is a one-of-one piece, and I mean, there is pine tar cake all over that thing.
Yeah.
And there are ball marks all over that thing, and the donut wore off the black paint.
You could see that on his bat that he's currently using too.
And I'm going to throw this out. In Texas Rangers history, I'm going to throw out, is there anything better than that bat? Is Garcia's bat where he hit the home run better? Is Garcia's bat?
I have a hard time with that.
Is Garcia's, I call them Rainbow Sherberts. I know they're not. But are his shoes in the Houston ALCS more important than that? Is Nolan Ryan's 5,000 strikeout ball better than that? I'm throwing out things.
I don't think so to that last one, just because that was an amazing individual accomplishment. But you did win the World Series, not just make the World Series. So I would go with one of the – I think I would go with the Seager bat above all else.
Okay.
That he had a great year last year, and I think he had that bat the entire year.
And
like
he won
the
MVP of the World Series. He only used it for game one.
Yeah. And he, you know, Bochy did say that he thinks it was like a 40-ounce bat after all the pine tar like Mike was just talking about.
And you can't hold it like a bat, if that makes sense. Like you can, if I were to grab the part of the bat where you would kind of check and see how heavy it was, you couldn't do it. Because as soon as you, let's say, wiggled it hard, you're going to break the bat even more.
Yeah, man.
Because it's split. It's splintered a lot.
I will also say
At the narrowest part, the skinniest part.
This is the other part about that, though, Mike, is we knew that he had that bat for a majority of the season, right? But I don't know how many other people were paying attention. Like,
it's very Wonder Boy-ish.
Yeah.
If you've ever watched The Natural, which is a movie that's a zillion years old.
That is a good movie.
I wonder if it still holds up. I bet it does, because it's kind of like this, hey, we're kind of using a little bit of Babe Ruthian stuff here with a fictional story. So,
yeah, I think I'm going to go with it. Yeah, he hit that home run, a very significant home run in the World Series. That in a series where we won the World Series. It's not like if Josh Hamilton's bat was there.
So that's the greatest piece of Rangers history.
Yeah. I think it is.
In the Rangers kind of Hall of Fame area, too. I don't know if it's ready for... Is it ready for the public to see? If it is, I don't know about it.
I am not positive.
I've also...
I think it is.
Also, his Game 1 jersey is there. I've got to see and touch the Game 1 jersey for Corey Seager. I'm assuming he also wore it in game two also. I don't think he changed jerseys. Maybe they do. Maybe in today's world of how authentic things are and how much memorabilia they want, do you think that players wear a game one World Series jersey than a game two game?
Yes, I do.
Okay.
Yes, I do. Somebody asked a couple more questions. The Spores glove that he spiked or the baseball? Because you talked about how specialized authentication can be, and if you could tell me this is it, this is the baseball that ended the World Series.
I bet they authenticated it very quickly,
and so that's what I kind of think about. I realize the Corey Seager bat was amazing, but if you're telling me I had possession of the ball which ended the World Series and you want it, man, that would be amazing.
I'll add this though: if I have a wall of stuff and I have a wall of balls, that one ball isn't sticking out when I look up there. that bat, if I have like a wall of bats, especially that bat's going to look you. Hey, why is that one broken? Oh, yeah. Here's the story, Kevin.
I'm bad at this. Obviously, like Heritage Auctions, Golden Auction, you know, they would be better at giving an estimate of what they think it would go for at auction. I remember trying to buy the Evan Carter first base hit in the World Series ball, I think. Do you remember when I was trying to get that off of MLB.com?
Yes, I do.
And it went for like, if I'm remembering right, it went for like $3,600 for that ball. That was just a base hit, his first ever base hit in a World Series. How much do you think that bat would go for if it auctioned off?
Billion.
And I don't think they're going to do that. I think it's going to be in Rangers history. But I mean,
at least 50K, right?
That's what I was thinking. At least 50,000. A Ranger fan would want that bat for at least 50, yes. Right?
Maybe 51.
Would you? I mean, sure.
So you can get a replica World Series ring, like the real deal that the players got. That costs $75,000 from Jason of Beverly Hills. Wouldn't you rather have
the one bat rather than the
World Series? Like. So
I kind of want Jason from Beverly Hills to make me that bat now. You know, the broken, I kind of want a diamond studded bat.
Is it
going to
be all diamond studded
and
everything? No, yeah, I think I would rather have, regardless of the price, I think I would rather have that bat.
I mean, as far as I know, there's 63 of those rings that were given to players and / coaching staff. That's one bat. And I get Corey Seager used another bat the next day, but that's the bat that hit the home run to tie the game up.
And again, the bat that was with him through most of all the playoffs against Houston, all those games, that was the bat he was using. Like, that's I'd go to 52, Kevin.
Well, hey, I'm asking this. If it costs 75K, and I get that there's, in a way, that is just a piece of wood. If you're just looking at it from the value of what the product is, and I get that the ring has, obviously, diamonds and, I'm assuming, platinum and gold. You know what I'm saying? Like, there's more value to that if you're just looking at it from, that is firewood, and that is diamonds and
bunch of rocks,
gold and platinum and stuff. So I get it from that standpoint, but there's going to be, and now you can buy $10,000 rings, by the way, I think here pretty soon, like Jared Sandler and Eric Nadell, and those guys are going to get their rings. Now, those are different. Those are not $75,000 rings.
Still pretty amazing.
But I think those are $10,000 to $15,000. I think those rings that they're getting.
Yeah, they're expensive.
But putting that aside, it's not what that costs, right?
It's what it means.
For sure.
Now, I do have a question
about
that.
If I was Jared Sandler, I'd trade my ring for that bat.
Wow.
Would you? If you? Yes.
I don't think I would, though.
Yeah,
okay.
Right.
Sorry.
I'll
not to.
I like this. This is fun.
Not to send us in a totally different direction, Corey. Sorry for jumping in there. I don't think I would, because I would feel like I earned that ring as being part of the team, as opposed to I just bought Corey Seager's bat. I understand if you want the bat.
Oh, I can see that.
But for Jared and Eric,
they work the games.
They earn those rings.
Okay, so that was part of this that I was gonna ask you, because Mike, you stand a chance for this. Of if the Rangers are gonna win another World Series, you stand a chance.
Think
of
about that.
Getting a ring put
Holy
in your hand.
Cow.
And Kevin, you and I do not. Like, as we're here, we do interviews, we go, we're part of it.
I'll let you wear my ring.
Mark Falwell.
That would be awesome.
And Jared's going to come up here into the studio, and he's going to flash his ring, and he's going to show it off. He's going to be like, look how shiny it is, Corey. And I'm going to be like, ugh. But I'm not really that jealous of it, because, like you just said, he did the work for it.
Yes.
Are you a little jealous of the fact that Jared gets a ring?
Yeah. Oh, no. And, like, you could be simultaneously jealous and thinking you deserve it, right?
Yeah.
I have.
I'm not getting a ring, and I called two whole games last year in Washington right before the All-Star break.
And a lot of... And
man, can you believe it?
How many new Rangers fans are there because of you?
I'll tell you what. There are...
Tolos are saying.
There's no way I can shout out all the Tolos that say hello to me at these games. And obviously, to be honest, and I get it, it was a school night. It was weather night. There are a lot less people at that Oakland Athletic game than the Houston Astros series.
Sure.
It was still a decent for what we had last. I guess last night was Tuesday. For a Tuesday night against the Oakland Athletics, it was still a pretty good crowd led by the Shea Langeliers group from Keller, who was enjoying the heck out of that game.
Yeah,
but a lot of Tolos more than ever. I mean, I don't even know how to express this. Five times more.
It's
people shouting out Tolo and stuff at the Ranger game. It's I would say during the Astros games that I was there for two of them that they were broadcast by Bally's. I was doing pre and post. I'm going to try not to exaggerate. 250 people yelled Tolo?
I definitely
said hello, listen to the station. They might not just yell Tolo, but like acknowledge.
I definitely believe
our
you
show?
Because we've talked about this for the last couple of years. Like, I know Corey gets recognized everywhere, but the rest of us were getting recognized a little bit more as well in a whole bunch of different places, or you get more social media traction and everything. And so it is amazing. I did like this text and go, and you only thought you were the home of the Rangers, but you didn't get a ring. I do think that's a funny text. I understand why, but I'm both jealous and proud of Jared because Jared knows as much about Rangers baseball as anybody, and he deserves it.
Let me throw this out. We just talked about Corey Seager's bat, the bat that hit the homer against Seawall to tie up game one of the World Series. They have, by the way, if you're like up in the, I guess you can see it from different sections, but they have a huge now poster. They took Juan Gonzalez down. Totally get it. Because they have that picture of Seager finishing his swing and yelling.
Okay. Yeah. Fine.
You got to put that up. Yeah, I get it. Sorry, sure. Juan.
There's nowhere else to put it, though.
Yeah, and Ruben Sierra and Juan Gonzalez got taken down. Maybe they're somewhere else. I just don't know where they went.
But I like to think they're somewhere else and not in that Indiana Jones storage shed at the end.
Probably
of,
a lot of fans walking in the stadium going,
if they don't want
guys?
It anymore, I'll take the Ruben Sierra. Figure a place. I'll put it on the side of my house.
Me too, yeah.
Will you?
Yeah, I would.
How long does it stay up there before you're instructed to take it down?
Not long.
Okay.
But I think it'd be really fun.
From the 469, late to the party, but huge shout out to y'all and the station. I got a 4-pack of tickets to Saturday's game. Took both of my sons to the game, and they hollered at you, and you hollered back.
Thank you. Now I'm putting up the Corey Seager bat. Oh, my God. It was just so amazing. Guys, I just can't tell you how amazing it was to hold that piece of history.
Were you nervous at all that you like might accidentally?
Yeah, a little bit. Okay. A little bit. But the other person who has the bat was making sure. And they trust me. They know I'm not stupid. Because I'm saying there could be somebody that doesn't understand broken bats and could really break that bat completely and ruin it. Is I'm putting that piece of history in our Metroplex up against any other piece of history in Dallas Cowboys history. In Dallas Mavericks history, in Dallas Stars history, what would be the piece that you would want to own or that you would think would be the most valuable? Is it like
a whole skate?
Is it like Roger Staubach's?
Oh, that would be cool.
Is it Roger Staubach's like jersey or helmet from the first ever Super Bowl the Cowboys won? Is it,
Super
I don't
Bowl
know,
six.
Is it? Bob Lilly's helmet he threw up into space and it came back down after they lost the Super Bowl to the Colts. I don't know.
This
is tough.
It is tough. I'm going to go.
Is it Dirk's Game 6 jersey?
I understand. I promise there's going to be a lot of answers that come in that I understand. I'm going with the jersey from Roger Staubach in Super Bowl 6. That was the first Super Bowl the Cowboys ever won. He was also the MVP. And if you're looking for like an all-around human to represent history, that's a pretty damn good choice right there. I take Super Bowl VI Roger Staubach jersey.
I love it. I think that's a great answer. Now I ask you this question. Do you think that still exists?
Yes.
Where is it?
I think he has it.
It's a good question for Roger Staubach.
I don't know if he had it at the time. I think
people just didn't care about things like that back then, so I just don't know if it still exists.
I think he's found a way to get back to it.
He's got it.
Does he?
You know this for
it?
Does he have his other Super Bowl jerseys, the ones he lost and the ones he won?
Not the ones he lost. Not in the same
way. Now,
I
throw this up against Jerry Jones's suit that he wore in 1993 when they won the Super Bowl. Because, I mean, Jerry is the Dallas Cowboys.
No,
way bigger than Roger. Way bigger than Troy.
I'd rather have a Tom Landry fedora.
You know, if anybody wants anything from that time, it's Jimmy Johnson's Apex coat that he had on.
Yes. I do want that.
500 people could have stood there and watched that team win. It was Jerry Jones who did it.
You know what, man? Because like jerseys are so like jerseys and shirts, there are lots of things like that float around. The bat, that's the one I want. That's a unique piece. like very unique because of even the way that it is, and it's a first thing. Like that's
Tony Dorsett's your first ever favorite player.
He is my first ever favorite player.
What if I presented that bat versus
like
the jersey that he wore when he had the 99 yard?
I'd like the helmet from that. Like a jersey's like I'm not a huge jersey sign fan person, but the helmet or something like that, I would love. That would be pretty significant from the 99-yard run.
Or the football or that he carried?
Yeah.
Ooh, what about the football for the Hail Mary? That comes up from the 214.
That's a good one.
Oh, that's a good one. Multiple
or
people,
the orange.
There's a lot of really
field.
Good ones coming in on the test right now.
I will say, I understand people who say this. I don't think this would be my choice. From the 940, they said Emmett's cleats from the record-breaking game. And from the 903, the ball where Emmett broke the all-time rushing record. I understand that. The only reason I don't think I would say that is because while that achievement was historic, it was in a run-of-the-mill game.
Okay.
And I think I'm trending towards, I want something from a historic, like a winning game, not just a, you set this record in a regular game. But if you could get them, obviously you'd be like, hey, good for me.
I'm hoping, and I know it would be behind the scenes, they're not going to let the Ranger fans hold the bat, but I'm hoping
probably not
pretty soon that that is in the Rangers Hall of Fame. Or I think they have like a, maybe a, they're going to have like kind of a Hall of Fame room and then also kind of the 2023 playoff World
yes.
Series run room
yes.
where people get to see that bat because it was super cool. Okay, so I have one more thing in Mike likes it, then we're going to have to move on.
Do you want to hit any of the other answers? Cause,
okay,
Mike,
yeah, there's plenty
okay,
of
awesome,
them.
Awesome, yeah.
T.O.'s popcorn bucket. That's yeah. funny. No, that's a funny one. That one's not as significant as some of these other ones.
Multiple people, the puck when the Stars won the Stanley Cup, or, as you said, Brett Hull's skate. And that is one interesting thing, Mike. I don't know if you feel this way at all. I wonder with the Mavs, Stars, and Rangers, there's just one of them. Right? There's just the one title. Whereas with the Cowboys, I pick Staubach, but you can go into a couple different eras and pick up Super Bowl type memorabilia. So I wonder how many more people are like, I want it from this because this is the only one. So we had multiple people saying the puck or the skate from Brett Hull. Chuck Howley's Super Bowl MVP when he was on the losing team. That's the only time. Okay. We've
anybody put in the speech that Jerry wrote out when he said he's all in for 2024?
Mike,
we're
having
so
much.
Well.
We're doing. Oh, we're having
okay.
fun
play that
talking
Charlotte
about everything
Hornets
else right
that's
now.
That's how I feel. Every time God. Mike talks about things like this,
don't worry.
I feel like the Charlotte Hornets announcer.
In 15 days, we're getting 7 Hall of Famers because Jerry's running the show.
Shut up. Right. And if possible, this is how I feel every time you talk about Jerry and the Cowboys.
And Dante Exum comes down with the rebound. Irving, you know he's going to make the.
That's how I feel every time you go over to Jerry and the Cowboys.
I was going to say, like, this kind of goes to the thing. Jerseys are and games are cool, but the Brett Hull skate is a story in itself,
sure.
right?
Yeah. Just like that bat is a story, yes, right? The jersey's cool, but the bat is the
you're
story.
Right.
Kurt Schilling's
you're
bloody
right.
sock. Whether or not it's real, doesn't matter. It's the story, and that's... Look, are you trying to say that
you
believe
it's
real?
Not real?
Dude, there's a lot of stories out there about that. Again, a story in a... So that's why those are the more unique things, rather than just a jersey. It's not like that dude woke up and put that jersey on and was like, this thing's going to be, you know?
I'm going to say something that's so wrong with me.
What the hell, then? Why say it?
Because it's great.
Get that Kyrie Irving audio ready again.
If I was a fan of the New York Mets in 86, I would want Bill Buckner's glove. Out of everything,
oh, for sure.
in that,
okay, no, that's oh, fair.
Absolutely. Out of everything in that World Series, is that right? No, it's not even from my team. It's a glove that missed a ground ball. But I would want, out of all of the things, I would want Bill Buckner's floppy first baseman's glove.
I think that's fair.
That is yes, because that thing is part of that yeah. that specific one.
If
little
you're
story
a Miami
right
Heat fan, don't you want one of the whistles that mm-hmm. the refs blew 7 million times for Dwayne Wade? Like that was the MVP, not Dwayne Wade. Like he didn't do anything. He just let the guys blow the whistle. He said, "Hey, David Stern, call another one for me, brother."
You know, in like you know that piece of bat that Roger Clemens threw at Piazza.
Right?
I want that. Like that again. That's part
that's
of that.
A good
like
one.
Nobody. Else has anything like right. that. There's nothing like it.
Dude, I don't need anything else. Mike likes it was a hit again. I'm sorry. I'm just sorry to everybody else that so many people have to listen to us because of the content that I give.
I just got a message that says, sorry, but I love Bassick. And I'm
I want to apologize for being too good at times. It's not fair.
Mm-hmm.
Now I know what all the greats feel like when they're doing their thing. And you're just like, God, I just stole all the listeners away from everybody else. I feel bad.
The numbers are showing we stole all the listeners.
Can we? I know it's going to be tough, Mike, because you just set an impossibly high bar.
What an ego.
Can we possibly transition to something else that will clearly pale in comparison to what you were just talking about? All right, Corey, you and I were talking about this before the show. The Ravens and John Harbaugh talking about how they will consult to a certain level with Lamar Jackson about some of the things that they were going to do in the draft. So I want to start with that as a springboard. Do you think that's a good idea? And we've talked about this. The Cowboys do that before. How much input do you get in this? Is that a good idea? Because I feel like, and I might just be thinking about this from basketball, which might be wrong, I feel like sometimes athletes are not the best general managers, and so maybe this is not the route that you should go.
Let's take...
Taking a shot at Chris Young right now, huh?
That was not the shot I was taking.
Michael Jordan's terrible at it.
LeBron James is terrible at it.
Tony Romo was a fantastic quarterback, right?
Yeah.
Didn't win the Super Bowl, but you watch him play and you're like, special quarterback. But he also said, bring me that Gavin Escobar guy.
And Troy Aikman said, bring me David LaFleur.
It never worked out. And then on top of it, you have a room full of Brian Broaddus's that you pay for this job. And you're saying, hey, guys, I know I pay y'all to, and y'all are the best in the world. You have the best eye. You can find talent. Mike, you know baseball better than anybody, and you're going to find me that pitcher.
Not than anybody.
And so
Smoltzy. I like Smoltzy.
I was really just kind of bringing you into the conversation here, but yeah.
Thanks.
And so you're telling these people that you are your experts, that you don't care really what they think and who their players are that they think are best for this team. And that's where it is kind of a kick in the face to those guys who are taking a lot of pride and going out and scouting and making sure that they have the right information on the right guys. But you also have a guy who is very highly paid, who is, you are saying, we're putting the entire franchise in your hands. You get to take it on and you get to do something with it. So,
pressure.
Kevin, I do feel like you need some input from that guy. But at the same time, you have a whole scouting department that's going to be ticked off that you didn't take their advice. Why am I even here if you're not going to utilize me?
Can I tell you the first thing I would want to ask of this quarterback?
And can I, sure. before you do that, that's where I would, if I'm the GM here, I would make sure my scouts are there with them so they can hear what the quarterback wants.
Okay. I'll bring them in after this first question.
Okay.
Because this is what I want to know. I want to ask the quarterback. It could be Lamar. It could be Dak. What can you do better this year that makes us better as a football team? I don't want to hear, if you get me this, if you get me this, if you get me this. I want to start with, what can you do better? And I feel like I springboard off of that. If I get what feels like a true, honest answer, then I go from there. And I was like, thank you very much for your feedback. Now, let's bring in the scouts. Are there position groups that you're looking for? And then I would maybe ask for position versus player or position group as opposed to player. But I would want to ask that first question first. See what kind of honest answer you get and then go from there.
I think and you got to really know that that's a genuine answer.
Yes.
Because it's very difficult for a lot of, what's the answer you get, Kevin, to the question, what's your biggest weakness?
I work too hard.
I'm too much of a perfectionist.
Not me.
What's your biggest weakness?
Everything comes too easy to me.
Oh man, I was ready to answer that question for you.
Sometimes
the filter just shuts off between brain and mouth.
And you don't. And a lot of guys, even when I asked Dane Dunning,
what my therapist says.
Asked Dane Dunning about, hey, would you want to pitch against your lineup? And what's Dane? No, he doesn't want to pitch against his lineup. But what was it? Yeah, of course, I'm going to challenge anybody. I'm up for the challenge. And so I don't need my quarterback to be macho in front of me for this answer. I need him to be very vulnerable. And so I got to figure out how to get him to say, to open up and say the real thing. Look, man, we signed you to the big contract. You're our guy. We have faith in you. But we really need to get down to the truth of this so that we can do this. So what is, and if he says, look, I got to be a more accurate passer, or I have to be able to trust the receivers I'm throwing to. I haven't trusted them yet. And that's where trying to figure out what that is for him. And I also have to kind of tap into some of the other guys, my other receivers and tight ends, like Mark Andrews. Why did, what do y'all have? How do you, what's the connection y'all have that makes y'all work so well that he can't quite find? What do you think about that? And so can I go find something to add to it that's similar to it? Because I'm not just going to say, do you like this guy or not? Yeah, he's fast. I like him. I got to know more about what you want from a receiver, or if you need a better offensive lineman.
I'm not asking this in a negative connotation. I'm really curious how the whole team works together. Do you think if you need to go to your quarterback, to all these other players to get the breakdown, that like maybe your breakdown's on the other side? Like maybe your breakdown is with you or the scouts or whoever.
Yeah.
And y'all just aren't doing a good job.
Yeah. Or man, we have a really good team, but we just have to figure out how to beat the Chiefs. And everybody's having to deal with that. You know, that's a big problem. But for this part of the conversation of what are the questions that you want to ask the quarterback, I really do. If it's Dak Prescott, do you want to ask Dak Prescott, hey, man, and I think the Cowboys have kind of had this conversation with him before, too. I mean, the Cowboys have taken that advice from him before. So I really want to ask Dak, hey, man, we've been working on building this team for a while. What do we need? What are we putting together here? Because what if Dak had told me I got to keep Zeke around? That's your friend. Are we keeping Zeke around for that? So there is a lot of honesty that I need to help him and let him know that it's a next level that we're trying to take this thing as well.
I'm fascinated by this conversation. And look, if it's a franchise that traditionally has done pretty well, like the Ravens, it feels tough to be like, I don't think you're going about things the right way. You know what I'm saying? So it feels like you just kind of default to, hey, you do your thing and we'll go along with it. And so I understand why they would say that.
Yeah. But I mean, I think with every one of these quarterbacks, you do want insight on what they do well and what they do poorly from them so that you can know not to ask them to do that. Because a guy's going to, with a coach, he's going to try and do everything he can to prove to coach that he's the guy, right? He's not going to admit that he has a weakness anywhere because, hey, but I don't want to ask you to do this if you can't do this. I'm not going to ask you to make a throw if you can't make that throw.
Can I ask you if this is somebody doing their job great or poorly? Did you see what happened in the Celtics game?
No.
Milwaukee was whistled for 4 fouls. That was the fewest ever in an NBA game, according to Basketball Reference, ever. The Boston Celtics got 0 free throws.
Okay.
That had never happened in an NBA game ever. So do you think, because I think it was Jason Tatum who tweeted out, like, welcome to life in the NBA being on the Celtics or something along those lines. Do you think that the officials fundamentally did a poor job, or do you think, hey, you did a great job? Thank you for not mucking up the game.
Oh, man,
calls.
That's a really good question there, because a lot of times I don't want fouls called throughout games. Now, maybe every once in a while I see Kyrie go at the basket for something, but I don't want a lot of foul calls.
We're the KNC Masterpiece right here on 105 Through the Fan. Coming up next, this time we will talk with Texas Rangers manager Bruce Bochy right here on 105 Through the Fan.